Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That's right. The Drive is live, and it's a birthday edition on The Drive as Tyler Milner. It looks like he's focused and ready for these 4 hours to end so he can really get after it.
Oh, margaritas and fajitas at El Tiempo are calling
that
name.
Is that the birthday,
that's
typical
the start?
Birthday dinner?
That's the start?
Soon as we sign off, yes, sir.
Good for you.
Man, to hell with that Christmas party. I don't blame you. That's the start. I'm with you, man. To hell with it, man. It's your birthday.
I love Christmas, but I got some meat to celebrate.
No, you shouldn't. I've told you, I've been fired at a Christmas party for a few drinks, so let's not, don't even put yourself in that situation. Tyler, that's a hell of a start. I know that's not a finish. I think you know what? I think I'm going to just drive to the heights tonight, and I'm just going to walk from bar to bar
to see if you can spot his rig. Well, no, because he'll be Ubering by that trip.
He won't see his vehicle. I'm just going to walk around to see.
Ooh, a new Kirby Ice House did open up in the heights.
Did it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, brand new.
Where is the space for that?
Okay. Ooh, I might have to go check that out.
Really?
Might be a good
they
call.
Had to buy something out, right?
Where is the space for that? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I see you.
I just remembered that whenever you said the heights. That might be the plan right there.
Might have to. By the way, also, not just that Kirby Ice House in the heights that just opened up, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
Yes!
You got a chance to win a pair of tickets. Front row bullpen, not for Sunday. Obviously, Sunday is a road game, but against the Cardinals, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, so stay tuned, 5 o'clock hour. How old are you today, Tyler?
I'm at the ripe age of 35 now.
Caller number 35. You'll be there. No, just laying. No, but 5 o'clock hour you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets, so a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. A lot of fun to be had. Tell your boy happy birthday, as T Mill is officially middle-aged, but in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
At 34, you can still ride with in your early 30s. You are officially in your mid-30s at this point.
Getting grayer by the day,
at
boys.
35 years old. Knees hurting. There you go. Why not? happy birthday, Turka. Happy birthday to young Laney as well, 2 years old.
Yeah, man. Already two, man. Feels like yesterday, Tyler.
Is this a face dive into the cake? Is she still in that space?
Oh, she'll lean into it. She's an eater now. She's an eater. I don't know if she'll face dive, but she will have all of her hands and be cramming it in her face. Absolutely. them true fruit I was telling y'all about 2 weeks ago, man. She's got to where every night when I come in, when I walk in the door, she's at the freezer doors pulling that bottom shelf. Because big one, Daddy. Big one.
Yeah.
She's an eater now. She'll dive in, no doubt. We'll see. We'll see how it goes tonight.
Talking just like her mom, huh? Big one, Daddy. All right.
Oh, stop it. She may have lied to me a time or two, boys.
There you go, love.
Wife plays with me.
She all right, not only is it a Texans Ticket Tuesday, but Clinton is always, and also, excuse me, a Tape Drop Tuesday. This arguably was the biggest win, I would say the biggest win on the road against a first-place team that had been rolling, and you shut the number one offense down to 16 points, Clint. Biggest, I would say, biggest win on the road in the season against the Colts. What did you see? What did you see when you were watching the tape?
Well, first and foremost, I thought some of the stuff we talked about yesterday, I thought the offensive line was better than advertised. You made a point yesterday about the offensive line, and it may have not productively, because I think they've had a game where they didn't give up a sack this year. I think it was when Davis was in there, but they, you know, it may not product, you know, from a stat line standpoint look like it, but I'm telling you, boys, this offensive line is, I'm not going to chalk them up to a top 10 offensive line, but this, we always said all year long, just give us an average NFL offensive line, both in the run game and the pass protect, and this team can win a bunch of games, and this offense can be pretty damn good. I think we've landed there. I'm going to tell you, the guys from the center to the right tackle, no disrespect to the other guys. The young fella, Urser, he's coming. He's doing a good job. My man, Titus Howard, hey, tip my cap, man. You're a better man than me playing all these different positions. But when you look at Andrews, Ingram, and Trent Brown, there's an ability there, or there's a desire there with all of those guys to be a bully. There's a desire there with all of those guys to be a bully. Now,
got a little nasty.
There's nasty, and there's definitely finish. There's definitely a physicality. There's definitely like a, if you are a player that is able to be dominated, that doesn't play hard all the time, those guys are going to catch you slipping. And look, Jake Andrews is he's working with I would say, below average NFL center talent, and he's making it work. When it comes to just tangible abilities, you know, he's not the most gifted guy in the league, but there's some nasty there, and he gets it done. Ingram, again, like I said last week, he shows you a handful of snaps every game where – That's first round stuff. Like that level of physicality, particularly in the run game, that level of physicality is why you go, okay, this dude right here has a chance to be different than most offensive linemen that you take in the second, third, fourth round.
Oh, 53 Pratt bit it.
Oh boy, was that nasty. And then Trent Brown, I've talked about it week after week. It's no surprise to me that Trent Brown is still in the starting lineup. There's just a level of, again, set the tone, physicality, you know, the ability to just shut down that entire side of the pass rush, if you will, if he gets his hands on you, it's nasty. So I think that held up once again. I'm going to tell you, in an effort to not talk negatively about Reed and a couple of the other defensive backs, and I don't mean negative, like, I mean, the defense was fine, but I'll make this statement. I'm sitting there watching this film, and Kamari Lassiter has changed the way that I evaluate or I watch defensive backs. And not that it's, again, not that it's a major negative for those guys, but it's more of a positive for him. You know, the long screen pass that Jonathan Taylor had in the first half?
Yeah.
There's Reed reads it pretty well and comes up, and he's presented with an opportunity to do what Kamari Lassiter does, which is blow up the first thing in your face to stop the screen, make the running back stop his feet. And so, in other words, blow up a 300-pounder right there, you know, just right there. And Reed decides, he makes a business decision. He sidesteps that thing. Taylor goes the other direction. And I'm not saying he would have made the tackle anyway, but Taylor never breaks stride, goes the other direction. Reed's a non-factor in the game. Pretty timid play. And I'm watching it going, boy, Kamari Lassiter would have made that offensive lineman's teeth chatter. I mean, again, I hope Reed gets healthy. I don't know what I expect out of Reed at this point in time, but boy, Kamari's changed the way that I watch defensive backs. And you know, I think lastly is get to the meat of this thing is CJ Stroud. CJ's late on a lot of stuff, even completions, even some of the completions. I'm chalking up to rust right now.
You think that is a fair thing? Because I know there are some people who are poo-pooing that.
Yeah, no. Right now, I mean, if it continues, then we'll have a problem. But I think he's late on a lot of throws. Even when he's finding receivers, it's a late get to. I think in the red zone, he's hesitant to pull the trigger. I think there were some opportunities for him on that first drive and a couple other drives to have chunk plays or touchdowns, and he just – I don't know if he's not seeing it. I don't know if he's not trusting it. I don't know what it is, but he's not pulling the trigger. Because when you get down in the red zone, the windows get tighter. The opportunities, if for instance, Dalton Schultz down there on that first time they were down there, he runs up and like just about 1 yard into the end zone, he runs kind of like a little curl route where the DB is behind him and inside. If CJ's got the arm, if he rips that thing on Dalton's outside shoulder, it's a touchdown all day. And the DB's a non-factor. Well, he didn't do it. If he works to the right, Nico Collins is over the top on a corner route and he can lay it to the back corner. Well, he never got to it. So there's some, he's just not pulling the trigger, and I'm chalking it up to rust right now. The one play
so real quick on the rust part, what is it? It's just timeout that he's not completely confident in what he's seeing.
I think all of it. I think that was a defense that showed some different looks. Yeah, I think you've got to you know, read it almost second nature and trust that receiver's going to clear that linebacker in coverage, or that you got to get that ball out on one side. Like, there's no reason. The slant to Nico for 21 yards, that was a tight throw. Like, that was almost deflected. And in reality, that should have been just in his chest right off the break. But for some reason, CJ's looking hard left and then kicked his eyes back right, and it damn near gets broken up. Like, you've got to just eliminate everything else and throw that slant to Nico Collins right there and make it easy. Now, it worked out for 21 yards, so nobody's going to complain about it, but that's what I'm talking about. The throw, the interception throw. Late. Like, that wasn't – well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say from a timing perspective maybe a little bit late, but it's just a bad throw. That wasn't – I chalked that up to all Russ. He just forced the ball. He didn't force the ball. I mean, the linebacker's running underneath with his back to the quarterback. We see quarterbacks make these throws all the time where it looks tight, but the linebacker's got his back to the quarterback. The problem is he didn't bring him back to the sideline. He threw it over his head. It was just a bad throw. He just missed it. Just flat-ass missed it, which we just don't see C.J. Stroud do very often. So if he lays it on the sideline – you know, that's a huge chunk play at a moment where you just had a sudden change because they fumbled the snap on the tush push, and we're in business. But instead, you give them back the football with a bad throw. So, you know, I think there's some with CJ. There's just some hesitancy there, which right now I'll chalk up to, you know, a month on the shelf. There's some just not seeing things immediately, not eliminating one side of the field and just working the other. Because so I think that was obvious throughout the game. I did not see that as much in the game tape, because you just can't see anything. You can't see everything, right? A couple of the sacks that he took, I know one of them for sure. He could have avoided it 10 out of 10 times. There's three guys underneath wide open, and he's for some reason – and I don't think he's holding – this is where it comes into, like, the rush factor too, Ron. I don't think he's holding the ball, like, trying to get Nico the ball. I think he sees the rush. Right, like I think he's feeling and seeing the rush right now, and he's dropping his eyes and seeing the rush instead of keeping his eyes up and getting the ball out. He's dropping his eyes and seeing the rush, which again, I'll chalk that up to rust right now. But if you can do those things and still throw for 275 and win a game, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So big performance from the O-line, and C.J. Stroud. To me, everything you're saying to me is not. Nothing that I wouldn't have expected.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you know
no,
I mean?
Yeah,
from CJ in particular,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and to me, I think you said a little bit yesterday. I was probably a little bit more surprised that he got off to such a good start.
Yeah,
right. Converting tight window third downs. You know, Higgins got one in there. Hutchinson got one in there. Tight window throws, which a lot of timing. Goes into it, you would think he hadn't had a lot.
Well, I'm still there with C. Like, what he did after being on the shelf for a month was tremendous, absolutely tremendous. But if you're evaluating the film,
but I could, you know, it's not a surprise to think, oh, not ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah, it just eyes not in the right place, not ready to pull the trigger, not trusting your instincts, and here's the thing: is we got to hope that it is the time, you know, on the shelf and missing a month worth of practice, 3 weeks, months worth of practice. And you hope it's not a boy just doesn't have a great feel for Kaylee's offense yet. So, you know, you hope that's the case. I would chalk it up to rust right now. We'll see how long it lasts.
All right, coming up as we continue, maybe CJ and the Texans are making more of something that shouldn't be as big as it feels like it is, and they're adding to it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in to The Drive. I could put my foot up this kid's ass.
I'm assuming you're talking about your sons.
Yes.
What do you do? Do you touch a mic?
You know, hold on, Joe.
I generally don't like to bring. I've got in trouble for bringing in some of the personal stuff in too much.
In the studio?
Too much on the air.
Oh, come on.
But I don't care. Just got a. They give you a preview of the school pitcher.
Oh, what'd he do? Is he acting a fool?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
In the picture, face down, slid it across.
I could kick his ass.
What's wrong with it?
What do you mean, what's wrong with it? Look at him.
Who's going to be mad? Because he ain't smiling?
He looks pissed.
Mean mugging?
He looks like, no, it's not even mean mugging. It's a pouty face. It's like pouty face.
He didn't like
that's
picture
the best,
day.
The best way I can describe it.
Well, I didn't view it as pouty.
You didn't? Oh, no. My God. Come but, on, but man. Smile at your damn picture.
I know him, and it seems like what I know of him, he seems like to be a happy kid. Right there, he looks like...
Annoyed.
He looks like the kid that fights in school all the time.
He looks...
Okay, annoyed. Yeah, annoyed is great.
He looks like the teacher or somebody pissed him off.
No, pissed off is yes.
And
yes.
right before he sat down, and this is his protest.
I got to be doing this.
This is his protest.
I agree with that. I don't think it's pouty, though. I think he's pissed.
It's pouty. Same thing.
Pissy, pouty.
I want to order these, and I want to send them to everybody.
What do you think Courtney's thinking about it?
Hot.
She wants him to smile?
What did she say?
Did she want him to smile? Is that the deal, or just...
I can't stand him.
What do you want him to smile real big? Is that what you're looking for?
I'm serious.
I'm not being a smart ass.
Take a smile or something. No, don't look
appear,
like
appear happy.
Don't look like I just. He looks like I'm protesting that I don't want to take this picture. So I'm gonna give you this.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And now this is the only one we can take.
Hopefully, that's the only option y'all got.
They just gave y'all one option.
Well, now, I mean, we came running back in there to go take them again. I don't know if they're coming back.
Oh, but usually they take more on in one sitting. Oh, that's God. The only one y'all got?
He didn't, and then probably didn't alert nobody. This is what he picked out on pitcher day.
The shirt you're talking about?
You got to be kidding.
Give him hell, Trey. Give him hell.
I mean, damn. Anyway, sorry.
I'm going to be in trouble like Trey. I'm going to tell you. I can't keep my hands off the mic. I'm just going to tell you, man.
I got to fix it to me. I'm trying not to. I mean, man, that ran me hot. All right. Is this are they making too much of a story out of this? All right. Is this just one of these talk radio, internet things that's not really a big deal? Or is it really a conversation? Because I think the Davis Mills CJ thing, I see it from people on the text line, YouTube and Twitch every day. I see it on social. And to a point where CJ Stroud is on with Pat McAfee yesterday. And I think Pat McAfee just plain asked him, how's the relationship between you and Davis?
Off the field.
Yeah, off the field. How's the relationship between you and Davis? And I'm thinking that maybe CJ's thinking that's where he's hinting towards. Because, hey, you go 3-0, you play like that. Maybe there's a controversy if the quarterback ain't Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, right? Maybe there's something there. Here is his answer to, hey, what's the relationship between you and Davis off the field?
That's my brother, bro. Like, he's been a really, you know, great leader for me coming into the league. I thought, you know, coming in, you know, fighting for the same position, you know, he always showed me love still, and I try to do the same, and he's made me better. I feel like I made him better. And, you know, we have our QB dinners that we do, you know, and we hang out a lot. His wife, you know, is a really good friend of mine as well. And his family, you know, I meet them, you know, every time they come to the games and stuff. So, you know, that's my brother, man. I always support him, always, you know, root him on. And I just think it's funny that people ask these questions now just, you know, because he's, you know, had, you know, some really good games. And, you know, it's something that, like, I root that on. I think he's a starter in the NFL, you know, and I think, you know, he's proven that, you know, in these couple games that he's played. So I just think it's funny how people, you know, can try to switch the narrative to make it seem like I'm like some guy that's like, oh, no, like, you know, like.
I saw a photo of you in the locker room. They saw a photo of you in the locker room. Everybody was happy but you, okay? Everybody was happy.
Not true.
But, yeah, I'm telling you. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I'm prime.
All right, that's Pat McAfee. And listen, it continues on as they make comments. By the way, Pat is clearly joking on the, I saw a picture of you. You were mad. But it didn't stop there. CJ continued to go on about the topic.
You can see one photo, but look at the whole thing.
Like, no! It's 2025, CJ. We're not doing that.
Right.
I saw one frame. That guy's not
right.
Happy.
Uh-huh.
Still concussed, too, in that frame, bro.
Oh, yeah. Just, I didn't even think about the lights in the entire thing. Yeah, it was a narrative, though. It was a narrative.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Some things in life, you know, I try not to respond, you know, and just let my private life be my private life. And I thought, you know, me and my teammates, you know, I think they, you know how much of a leader I am and how much, you know, having that C on my chest means to me. And that's not when it's always good for me, you know. And when it's good for the team and it's sometimes not great for me, I got to be happy because that's, you know, more important than just my selfish and my, you know, personal desires. So I put the team before me anytime, man. And if that's, you know, me not playing because, you know, it was a Thursday night game and I was just super happy that we got the dub and it helps me out that I get to play hopefully more ball, you know, as the season goes on.
Yeah, but I saw a photo. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to hear it. I'm happy you cleared that up, though. That's good. And Dougie knows that you're happy for him. And that locker room knows that you're happy for him.
All right, there's CJ. Do you think this is a real narrative? You surprised that he went in with this? Because he did say, like, he's a fan of him. He's rooting for Davis. They've got a great relationship. They have meetings with his wife and stuff.
No, look, I don't personally think it's a narrative. I don't live in a world where I see remotely close to enough fodder comments, statements about Davis Mills versus CJ to even entertain the thought. But clearly it's gotten to CJ. Clearly it's gotten to CJ.
And McAfee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think McAfee almost, I mean, look, he just said, hey, off the field, man, what's the relationship like? And I thought CJ did a really good job answering that question. And then all of a sudden, he flips and turns it into, oh, but I don't know why everybody with this narrative stuff. And so at that point, it's like, I think McAfee's got to try to lighten the room a little bit and not make this be almost like go the wrong direction and be so serious. But he turns it into this narrative convo, and then he slides into a leadership and captain convo, telling us how much his team knows he's a leader, and it's weird. And this slides into the same stuff with D'Amico Ryans and how triggered they are by what other people are talking about or what the media is writing about, and they spend so much time telling you about how they don't care about it, but yet they're telling you about how they don't care about it and trying to explain and justify out of it. Like, it's just that part of it's weird to me. Like, I'll be honest with you, the whole back half of that first comment and the whole second one is below C.J. Stroud, in my opinion. Like, if I'm the starting quarterback, if I'm C.J. Stroud, I'm starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. I have no need, desire. It's not even on my radar to address a narrative about Davis Mills should start beyond me. I don't care if somebody saw a picture of me in a locker room. I don't give a rip. I don't need to tell, vocalize publicly that I'm a leader and the team knows it. And that's all strange to me given who C.J. Stroud actually is for this team.
It would be something you wouldn't even bring.
Wouldn't even entertain it. I mean, if they brought it up, I would laugh and keep it moving. Like, I don't know. That's the interesting thing. That's the interesting part.
I could see how he would be annoyed that people view him in a sense that he is negative towards Davis Mills because Davis Mills was performing well.
Strathouse.
I could see how he could be annoyed with, like he brought up a photo, because I think he's heard of the photo that he's talking about. I could see how he could be annoyed. And I think, to me, what I heard was, hey, I'm a captain of this team, and I'm rooting for the best, for the good of the team. I could see how he could be annoyed about that. I don't think he thinks his job or this is a
no. For the record, I don't think he thinks his job is in jeopardy either. But it's clearly gotten to the mind of the starting quarterback. And if you don't believe it, those comments to me, it's clearly on your radar. It's clearly part of your world. Even though those guys talk about, I don't care, it don't matter what other people say, and everybody's going to jump on.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to be on our team when we win, and everybody's going to talk bad about it. You hear every bit of it, and it impacts you, obviously. Or it would just be a, let's keep it moving.
Yeah. All right. Some people are.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Concerned about some of that. I'm not as concerned about that as I am a bit concerned about this. And this is something that we are starting to see as a trend, almost as this is what to expect from the Texans moving forward, and it could be something that hurts them. We'll discuss that on the other side.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
A lot going on this Tuesday. It is a birthday Tuesday. It's Tyler Milner is now officially 35 years old, mid-30s in the building. It's his birthday. Clint's daughter, Lainey, it's her birthday. She's turning 2, so a little bit behind Tyler, and in the 5 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win a a pair of tickets on a Texans Ticket Tuesday for the Arizona Cardinals game coming up. So make sure you stay tuned with us for your chance to win. My man right here, I love the excitement from people coming through here. You win four in a row, you do that, and people get excited. I'm just looking at on YouTube. My man Ridgemont, OAD, a frequent visitor on YouTube while we do the show, said, once we beat the Chiefs, the AFC is ours. If we get into the playoffs, who is going to stop us?
I'm so excited!
And as I said yesterday, I think you got to look at this team differently. When you look at the Texans and you look at the rest of the AFC, to me, if you do something great, exceptional, you got a chance no matter what that is. And obviously, the Texans, I think, have the best unit going into any game. But when you say that, what will potentially stop us? And Clint, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. And this is something that I am really going to watch the rest of the way because, as you said, AD, what can stop us? I think the Texans play a way that puts them in a situation where a lot of teams could creep up and get them. And when you say a lot of teams, any team, as we watch with the Titans, any team, the way they play. Here was D'Amico actually talking about This specific conversation that he is speaking about at the end of the half, to me, is a big part of the overall point I want to get to. He is giving his reasoning for how the end of the half went against the Colts.
Yeah, we're trying to get points there. I mean, we are trying to get points. We didn't execute how we wanted to execute at the end of the half. If we get the first down, we're in a good spot there. Want to finish vertical there. Thought Higgins did a great job of catching the football. Well, we got to finish vertical, get the first down there. Then we're in position to go ahead and try to get points.
All right, I hear what he said. I don't know about you, Clint, people, Tyler. When I watched it, it did not look like they were saying, let's go get points. Let's go score. Let's go add to it. It looked like, hey, let's not make a mistake. We get the ball coming out of the half. We have a lead. Let's not make a mistake. And Clint, to me, overall from that point, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but overall from that point, they play a game in which it's like a race to 20. 17, and they enjoy to play it that way. It almost seems like it's the plan to play that way. And for me, Clint, you put yourself in a situation where you're going to be playing better teams in the playoffs, and they just have to make, like Bo Nix, three or four plays, and next thing you know, you look up and it's like, damn, we're down.
Yeah.
And we feel like our defense has dominated all day long, and then it puts pressure on. Your special teams can't make any mistakes, which they've kind of been prone to do sometimes. Can't turn it over. Can't. They just play a game. When you are planning to say, hey, let's win 17-14. Let's win 20-17. You just put yourself at risk for somebody to jump up and get you because they just made a play, a busted coverage, or Alex Pierce draws a pass interference that was thrown in the first row and sets you up, or something happens. And I think that is something that is concerning the rest of the way of how they appear to want to play that way, want to keep the games tight.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it's a bigger problem for me when the playoffs come.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think you look at the rest of the season. I mean, you got a cat this week in Pat Mahomes who I'd rather it not be a one possession game. If at all we can accept, we can not allow it to. Can we go get a 2-score lead? That would be nice going to the fourth quarter. I mean, but you got Arizona, Jacoby Brissett, you got Geno Smith in Vegas, you got a banged up team and a banged up quarterback in Justin Herbert with the Chargers, and you got a broken leg Daniel Jones that we just saw play. And so I think our defense is going to be able to allow this team to win enough games the rest of the way playing the kind of ball you're talking about. The problem is can you win four straight, and do you legitimately believe that you can beat playoff teams with that kind of approach? Now, what the audio you used, it's interesting to me because the one thing that D'Amico points out in that drive is the one thing that has a justifiable excuse of why it happened. Like, I would like for Higgins to have gotten north and got that first down, too.
Yeah.
But he's a rookie. Not quite understanding the every situation you're in is excusable for him. Like you can go, hey, man, he's young, got to get over it. Like, starting that drive and just letting time.
That's what I was going to say. The time from the jump screen, yeah. Let's be conservative.
The way you started the drive and then the way you finished the drive was there was nothing aggressive about it. There was nothing about it that said, let's go get points. There was, like, Higgins is the least of the worries in a sense of how that drive went. So I think it's telling, you know, D'Amico pointing that out, I think is pretty telling about what they're trying to do. I mean, they are very comfortable with the traditional defensive led football team of just, hey, I'd rather not score points as long as that means I don't risk giving them any points.
But I mean, we've watched it and you play it. It's playing with fire.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Like, You're in this, and Tyler was there live. All of a sudden, the way you play, hell, Tennessee's in the game.
Yep.
Tennessee ties the game, and they were getting their asses dominated. Really, they somehow got 6 points on the board, but clearly the Texans, especially their defense, were dominating, especially when they took control. But all of a sudden, hell, it's 13-13, and it's third down and 16.
Yep.
And you may be able to punt the ball. That's the worst team in football. That's the Titans.
Yeah.
Right? And you, Buffalo, I'm sorry. The last two games, the Texans could have put at least 27 up. Maybe 30. The way, like, even with Davis, was the way the first half went.
Against Buffalo.
Yeah. They could have put up big points. The way that they were moving the ball on the Colts, it felt like they could have put up big points.
Agreed.
And it seems like it wasn't as much the other team coming up with adjustments or doing something to stop them. It seemed like they were helping with, all right, let's just not make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think you're playing with fire with that.
I agree wholeheartedly with the overall point, Ron. There is a, when you, and it's a game time decision. It seems like there is a desire to have control and just control it to the finish line instead of let's step on their necks, let's be aggressive, let's put them out of their misery, let's put this thing out of reach. There is, let's just control it to the stop, to the end. I think D'Amico being defensive minded is wired like that.
Yep.
And I think Nick Caserio, where he's from and how they won championships, he is definitely wired like that.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue here, a lot going on. It is a ticket. Texans Ticket Tuesday, so you got a chance to win tickets throughout or in the 5 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. And Clint's helped me. I want to send a shout out to a group on this team, and heard something D'Amico had to say on the coaches show last night, and it really kind of brought into focus the challenge for a major part of this Texans team. We'll discuss that next.